You see, it's a list of emotions, and I didn't completely screen them, and they were put into three categories, and emotions are what we're going to be talking about this morning, so I just thought it was kind of a interesting way to get things started. Most of the things that I'll talk about today and some of the things that we've touched on the last couple of weeks, I think are based on a couple primary emotions. You know, those are the ones that typically get us in trouble as a Christian, I think. But again, it was kind of interesting to me to look at this, and you might be able to look down this list and maybe single something out and point to something. And hopefully out of this morning comes some direction to try to work on some of the emotions that affect us in our lives. That's kind of how I approached this week, and when I was, you know, looking at some scripture and thinking about what I wanted to share this morning and talk to everybody about, that was my takeaway. What emotions do I need to look at in my Christian life specifically to try to improve upon? And hopefully if I do that, again, it's like that goal setting. You pick something and you single it out and you work on it for a while. And again, that hopefully is what comes out of it this morning. You know, emotion the quick description or definition of emotions, conscious mental reaction. It's a strong reaction usually directed at a specific object. I think in most cases that object tends to be a person. And unfortunately, again, in our Christian lives, if that emotion is the wrong emotion, how we direct ourselves and project ourselves upon that person will affect how they look at us as a Christian. Or not as a Christian, depending on how we've treated them. Dave Mader said to me, I think it was last week or the other week, he said about how, looking back a couple years ago when I first started coming up here, you could tell, you know, and I was very, well, pick a number of emotions back here, probably. Fearful, afraid definitely come to mind, concerned, worried. I could probably pick out quite a few of them. And he said, how much changed? I said, not really. I just hide it better, Dave. I said, I'm still very nervous when I come up here some weeks more than others. I still, apprehensive at times. You know, I still worry about what I'm going to say. You know, I'm getting into a field here talking about emotions, and I'm trying to do it focused on some scripture and just my personal life. And again, it always comes down to me sharing some of the things that I have problems with in my life. I struggle with how my emotions affect me as a Christian a lot of times, which is why I kind of wanted to talk about it. But yeah, I just do a better job of hiding it now, Dave. So those emotions are still there. And hopefully they don't affect me too much when I get up here. Sporting world. Got to throw it in there. Anybody that knows that I love sports. When you look at the sporting world, I think it's a great starting point to talk about emotions. Because people's love of sports, whether it's someone that's playing the sport, whether it's an ardent fan, it is unbelievable how emotions come out and project themselves in the sporting world. I've toned down. Still an ardent sporting fan. You know, when you talk about emotions, you know, you look at LSU dumping the Gatorade a little early last night. Their emotions got the best of them. Didn't play out too well for them. And I'm sure the coach didn't appreciate being sticky for the rest of the game. But there was a case where emotions got the best of somebody and they got carried away. For the old timers, you know, Bobby Knight. I still picture that, and you can still find it. You can go on. I didn't do it, but I'm sure you can go on YouTube and find that famous picture of Bobby Knight whipping a chair across the court. You know, there was a case where emotion, and he definitely struggled with anger issues. There's no doubt in my mind, but how he reacted in certain situations towards people, his players, a whole lot of emotion in that man. So we see examples of sometimes where emotions can be good, they can be bad. As an athlete, you know, I watched a couple games, and college, the emotion seems to come out a lot more than professional, in my observation anyway. But, you know, I see cases where you know, potentially we're looking at, you know, a game-winning drive and a quarterback, you know, bobbles a ball and fumbles and turns it over and, you know, what went from a really good game to, you know, losing the game and how that emotion affected him, you know, and you see a man that's, you know, taken to tears, you know, professional athlete because, you know, something in sports. So when you think about emotions and how they can help us and hurt us, and you put it in the perspective of sports, which, again, I'm a huge sports fan, but I've kind of come to terms with my relationship with sports, where I used to be the guy that yelled at the TV. Now I mutter a little bit, but I no longer yell at the TV. Never threw anything at the TV. Glad to say, never quite crossed that line. I know my brother-in-law, who's an ardent sports fan, if the Steelers or the Pirates or the Washington Capitals lose, she tends to leave the house for a while. So his emotions get the best of him when it comes to his love of sports. But anyway, that being said, we're going to look at some emotions today and how they can affect us as Christians. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So in that scripture, you know, it basically says, you know, this is a spin on it. Phyllis Diller, a couple of us in the room, right? Remember Phyllis Diller? You heard the saying, never go to bed mad, never go to bed angry. Didn't that scripture look very familiar? I don't know. Maybe that's where it originated. I'm not sure. I mean, it was definitely right on target. And it was basically saying, you know, don't let it fester. Don't go to bed mad. Phyllis Diller took a slightly different angle on it. She said, stay up and fight. But there's a lot of truth to that in respect that when I read that scripture, it was you know, God telling me, it was, you know, me being told that if I did not deal with my emotions and I just basically tucked them away or, you know, went to bed, the consequences were probably not going to be good. The result was probably not going to be good. There are people that will tell you and make the argument that, you go to bed, you forget about it, you feel better in the morning. That's typically not been the case for me. You know, I still struggle with this because, unfortunately, anger being one of the main emotions that we're going to talk about today, this morning, and look at some scripture, anger is one of those ones that I think all of us deal with. I mean, to sit here, I can't, I wish I could, to sit here and say, I'm a Christian, I don't get mad, to me is unfathomable. I think some people do better than others, but you know, you think about simple things in life. Road rage, right? I mean, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's a mess out there, you know. And you know, I ride a motorcycle, so don't even get me started. You know, you talk about. And I've gotten to the point now where I usually just, you know, shake my head, do one of these. I'm amazed by what some people do. And, you know, as my wife will point out, I'm not the perfect driver myself. I'm sure I've done some things that may have made people shake their heads at times. But there's a prime example in life, in your everyday walk in this world, where anger can take hold and affect how you act. Think as simple as, okay, if Dave talked about the other week about that whole fear about being a Christian and letting it come out and letting people know where you're coming from. So let's say, okay, people know I'm a Christian. Don't do as good of a job as I, but most people know where I'm coming from. They know my beliefs. They know what, you know, kind of, you know, gets me through my day, so to speak. So I'm driving with, let's say, somebody that knows that. And that road rage incident happens. Again, I think I've gotten pretty good at it. And I base a lot of that on my faith and one of the other emotions we're going to talk about here in a minute. But let's say you don't have control of it. Let's say you lose it. Heaven forbid you say something colorful that you definitely don't want to do. So now how does that person look at you, and how do they look at you differently as a Christian? How do they, what's their respect level for you now? You know? I'm not saying all my friends that, you know, that I spend time with have never seen me be imperfect. That's not what I'm saying. We all have those days. We all have those moments. I do. Where sometimes I don't come across in the best light. But I always like to think that I'm still bringing my Christian faith into everything that I do and say. So letting those emotions get the best of you as a Christian is something that, you know, that's where that, you know, that the evil gets its foothold. That's where it takes you from, you know, being that Christian that people look at and respect and admire and say, man, I got to look into this Christianity thing. I got to look into this church thing. That person really seems to have a good handle on things and be able to handle their emotions. How, you know, we look at all the emotions and how we deal with them, and you know, whether it's a death in the family, whether it's you know, anything, you know, with love, obviously, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about this morning's main scripture. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, my takeaway when I was looking at emotions, and I realized that, you know, love was going to be one of the strongest of those emotions. It really drives a lot of what we do, or should, hopefully. You know, the absence of love in our lives, at least my takeaway from this scripture primarily was, if I don't have that love, the things I'm saying and the things I'm doing are going to come across differently. And I think most people will notice that and see that, you know, in your daily life. How much easier is it to handle adversity in life when you have that love in your heart? And I'm not talking about the just that love, you know, that you have for your spouse, your children, or your grandchildren, or your parents. I'm talking about that overwhelming love that comes from being a Christian and having God and the Holy Spirit in your life. That love. That love, I think, drives all the rest of it. I think that love is going to drive how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, you know, how you treat those people around you, how you talk to your parents. So the absence of that love, that void, if you have it in your life, as I took away from this scripture, is you're just going to say a lot of stupid things. You're just going to be beating a drum and saying a whole lot of stuff that's not going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people and probably make things worse. Numbers 14:8, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. The only reason I threw that in there is because, you know, it was that whole emotion of being pleased with someone and what will happen if they're pleased with you. So if the Lord is pleased with me, I'm going to have reap those rewards. And if other people around us are pleased with us, potentially we bring them along to receive that reward as well. That's where, again, sharing emotions, the right kind of emotions can come into play. Letting people know that what drives us and what leads us, you know, what helps us to focus on the proper emotions in life. So we're going to get into something here that, you know, when we talk about Joseph, this in scripture would be comparable to a soap opera, a biblical soap opera. There are so many emotions going on in this story. You know, if the story of, you know, Joseph and Mary and the birth of Christ, you know, that would be, you know, like a Hallmark holiday movie, right? This is a soap opera. I mean, we're that other story, you know, has all these positive emotions going on. And I did watch a Hallmark movie the other night. I just, she turns them on, I get sucked in. It's like a train. You can't look away. I'm telling you, just Don't judge me until you've sat down and watched one. But they are, and the reason I like to do it, just like the reason I watch It's a Wonderful Life every holiday, because of the emotions it invokes in me, the emotions it brings out in me. It level sets me for the holidays. You know, it just really puts everything in perspective when I think about the holidays. So that's why I like those. They have all those positive emotions. You saw that column up there. Genesis 37, 4 through 8. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Hate, used numerous times in this scripture. You know, when Joseph's brothers, jealousy. Jealousy. Let's think about in terms of our everyday lives. I struggle with this one. And man, it's, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I have no medical degree, but when you look at those emotions, I think a lot of those emotions start with those primary emotions. You know, the other week, I think it was fear you were talking about, Dave. And, you know, fear will drive a lot of other different types of emotions. Just real quickly talking about emotions, there were some things you may agree or disagree with the story of the missionary that was killed this past week on a remote Indian island. It was still legal to be there, you know, and there was a lot of people that had that take on it, but the one thing you have to take away from that was his conviction. To Dave's point the other week when talking about fear, how many of us have trouble just maybe sharing our views or telling someone that, hey, I'd really appreciate if you not talk about that around me. You know, we struggle with that sometimes. So, you know, right or wrong, he had that fear. He knew that his life was potentially in danger. And yet he did what he felt he needed to do as a Christian. So, but you talk about, you know, jealousy, you know, and hate with Joseph's brothers. They were so jealous of him. And it just, you know, the scripture, the hate just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. How many times in our, you know, again, my daily life, you know, the jealousy thing, it's so easy. You know, but put it in perspective. It's like the jealousy in most cases is material, at least from my experience. It's about material things. It's about he's got a nicer car than me, or he's got a nicer house than me, or, you know, he's got more money than me, or he's got a better job than me. Turn that around. What about the guy that maybe does have a nicer car, a nicer house, and more money? He might look at you and say, man, he's always smiling. How does he do it? He doesn't have half of what I have. And yet he's always happy. He's always smiling. Wow, what a way to put jealousy in perspective. You know, that's what I did this week when I was thinking about emotions, because, again, we all struggle with these emotions, which is why I wanted to talk about it, and potentially how we handle them is really a reflection on us as Christians. But that jealousy one, that's tough. It really is tough. That car, that house, that money, it ain't going to get you into heaven. So don't worry about who's got what. Takes that jealousy one down a notch at least, because that one is dangerous. That one can definitely affect you. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I asked you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God." So, oops, sorry. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid, I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years. So I skipped ahead in the interest of time. There was a lot, you know, happening in between there. But at the end of the day, Joseph was told to forgive his brothers. That's the quick, you know, in a nutshell version. And out of that whole soap opera, that whole incident with Joseph's brothers, came a lot of good. But for that all to happen, part of that was Joseph needed to forgive his brothers. That, you know, when we talk about, you know, emotions, when you have a hatred, whether it be a big hatred, a little hatred, any kind of hatred, based on somebody did something to you, something wrong. Could have been a physical altercation. Could have been the way they talked to you. Could have been something they did to somebody in your family. You know, from a parent's point of view, you know, do something to my kids, you know. Do something to my grandchildren. You know, that's where, you know, it gets tricky sometimes. We struggle with that. But how hard is it just in that case to forgive someone like that? It's a constant struggle for me. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So, talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. Was brought up in the message. How hard is it sometimes? It literally could be your neighbor that you have some type of property dispute with. Maybe they hang out in their backyard too much and have parties all the time, and it just works on your nerves because you're the guy that likes to just sit out in his back porch and relax and watch the birds and, you know, listen to the birds. And so, boy, that's just one example. Could happen. But that love and to pray for those that are against you, that's really, love is a strong emotion. So to ask me to love somebody that did me wrong, that put me in a position I didn't want to be in, potentially harm somebody in my family, that's a powerful statement right there. But love is what we are told we are supposed to do. And not only love that person, but pray for them. You know, the person that has that love that I just talked about earlier, that love that drives us as Christians, that love that fills that void, that love that tries to keep all those other angry emotions out, that love is what we need when it comes to this, in my opinion. Without that, there's no way you're going to forgive somebody like that. There's no way you're going to pray for them. They need your prayer the most because probably they don't have that love in their life, which is why they potentially did what they did to you. So when you put it in that perspective, that's really all the more reason you need to pray for them because they're missing something in their lives or they probably wouldn't have treated you that way in the first place. You know, the person that's on board, you know, is on the same page as you, they probably do their own share of prayer and praying already, so they're probably in good shape. It never hurts to throw a little extra out there, but these enemies, they're the ones that more than likely need that extra prayer. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them to such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire. And out came this calf. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me," and all the Levites rallied to him. So, a lot of emotions in here. It starts off with Moses, a man of God. He's ticked off. He's cranked up. So much so that he just takes his, tablets and breaks them. I'll start all over, you know. His anger made me realize that, okay, sometimes, even as Christians, because let's face it, Moses, he had a mission. He was chosen. But that anger crept in there and got a hold of him. Fortunately, he had a lot, you know, a lot of strength, a lot going for him. But then the second piece of the scripture that I thought was interesting, the reason I wanted to keep going with, you know, finishing the verses there, was there was an emotion of the people that Moses was gone so long that their emotions got the best of them. I think there was a little bit of fear involved, worry, concern. Did he leave us stranded? Where's he at? What's going on? And what do we do sometimes when those negative emotions get the best of us? We look for something to fill the void. And in this case, they were looking for some idols to pray to since Moses wasn't there anymore. One of the fears, one of the dangers, again, you know, if you let those negative emotions get the best of you, it's going to take you down that road that you probably don't want to go down. Getting ready to wrap it up here this morning, but this is really what it comes down to. Don't let your emotions distract you from doing what needs to be done. And I put that in terms of, you know, the context of being a Christian and what you need to do in your Christian life and what I need to do in my Christian life. Don't let your emotions distract you, because that's what happens. Control your emotions, or your emotions will control you. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I think it was referenced a few weeks ago. You know, the love, when you look at that list of emotions, if you could really every day direct that love that you get from your relationship with God, if you could direct that every day, you could probably keep most of those negative emotions in check. And I truly think that, you know, with danger, you know, being simplifying it too much, Scripture tells us so many places. You know, love is referenced so much in the Bible, and I think, you know, the obvious reason for that is because His love for us is what is going to help us to be a good Christian, help bring other people to Him, and really just help us to get over those tough days. We all deal with those emotions when we're having trouble, when we're struggling, whether it's something going on in our lives, maybe it's a loved one that's sick, you know, ill, dealing with a crisis in our life, a loss of a job, how am I going to pay the bills next month? You know, all those things are going to creep into your life, and they're going to potentially want you to go down the direction of negative emotions. But if you lean on love, Christ's love for you, I truly think, as simple as it sounds, you can overcome most of those emotions that are going to potentially take you in the wrong direction in life. Thank you for your time, as always. Again, take away this week, you know, maybe we look at some of the emotions in our lives that maybe take away from us being the Christian we need to be. That's what I'm going to focus on this week, and hopefully it helps me to do better, because even though that, you know, it's, you know, not out loud anymore, I still get that occasional grumble under my breath. And, you know, that's something I need to keep working on. So while we stand and sing, if you have any needs of the church, please come forward. Baptism, anything at all, please come forward.